You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to the McCovey Croncast, the only San Francisco Giants podcast on SB Nation. I'm Brian Murphy, who has come down with something the government COVID test tells me is not COVID. So forgive my voice, which might be stranger than usual. With me is Doug Brazzoni, who writes his own Giants blog, giantsdoug.substack.com, and who I can only hope is COVID-free as well. Doug, I'm violating HIPAA to ask, are you COVID-free?
Yeah, so I actually also have something that I came down with. Well, someone at my work yesterday turned out he left. Sorry, I don't want to violate HIPAA also. He left, and then I was told he would be out for 10 days. So I gave myself a test when I got home yesterday and it was negative. And then I got sick today. So,
but he's on the IL. So
he's on the IL. He's on the IL. We're calling someone else up.
That's right. Well, yes. And then I was told yesterday when I was talking to someone on the phone, who works in medicine that, yeah, something is going around and I would just assume it's a cold.
So it feels like a cold to me. Yeah. It's exactly like every cold I've ever had.
Yes.
And this is exactly the discussion, by the way, that our listeners are in for. They love it.
They want us to talk about the Giants, who right now feel like a head cold right now.
What a segue.
Yes. We are talking about the Giants past week. We're actually recording it right after their 2-1 loss on Saturday against the Padres, guaranteeing the series loss. We're a quarter into the season somehow, surprisingly. Seems like it's both gone by very quickly and also kind of at the same. It feels like 40 games, but also I can't believe it. I can't believe we're almost in June. But before we get to any like this past week, so there's some other Giants and Giants adjacent news I want to talk about. The thing that all the other Giants sites and media have already gotten into, and that was the idea of the Giants trading for Juan Soto if he becomes available.
Yes, yes, they should trade for him.
That was Bleacher Report. Doug Grant wrote about this in The Athletic, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners, there's some overlap there, read the article too, which basically says exactly that. The Giants should absolutely trade the entire farm system for Juan Soto were he to become available. And so we're not going to like delve into all this. Like it's already been examined. It's also just basically a kind of a BS rumor. It's not a rumor. It's just Buster Olney, whoring for clicks, I guess. I don't know if whoring an appropriate term to use anymore, but you know, he's fishing for clicks. There we go. So, and so he basically asks scouts and maybe some junior executives or maybe an exec who soused, but so, you know, he could just get someone spitballing and then, you know, because of the cloak of anonymity, he'll get him to say whatever. And, you know, the Nationals are in the tank. The owners are, you know, leaning towards selling the team because they've already won their championship. They're going to make a lot of money if they sell. So Doug, I guess this is a pro and con. My con position is no, it's fine. and why? Just tell me why I'm wrong.
If you can get a Hall of Famer in his prime, you should do that.
Yes.
That's the argument. Like, Kyle Harrison will probably be a good player, right? Marco Luciano will probably be a good player. Neither of them has done what Juan Soto's done. Neither of them is, you know, if you were to take bets, Juan Soto is the much safer bet. And besides, this front office, by the way, where do they find their value? By picking up minor league free agents who then become moderate stars for 2 to 3 years. You don't need to have prospects to do that. You can just take someone else's discarded prospects and sort through the refuse and find the diamond ring someone threw away.
And you also get a guy like Farinzetti to run the team to avoid what Bobby Evans was unable to avoid, which is we're going to trade our best prospects who can contribute to a major league team to get a player who currently can and provide the value we're looking for, because we have to believe in our efforts to basically restock the farm. You know, we're trading Brian Reynolds to get Andrew McCutchen, because we also think once Andrew McCutchen passes, we've got the next Brian Reynolds in line. That's the hope. Because the long term, which GMs always do, you know, the good ones do think in those terms, you know, Zaidi coming in and having to basically clean up someone else's mess and clear out the bad contracts. This is not a bad contract, Juan Soto. I'm just saying you're tying one hand behind your back and you're hoping that all of your margin moves to support Juan Soto work out just as well as they've been working with no backstop now, with no farm.
I mean, I'll also point out this is exactly the Dodgers strategy, which was you build up your farm, you don't give out too many ruinous long-term contracts, and then when you're able to acquire Mookie Betts, you trade for Mookie Betts.
So then that's the other part. I mean, now we're going into this, but to me, that's the thing. I don't think that he's importing the Dodgers model. I think he's importing the A's model. The evil genius of the Dodgers, it's not genius, the evil, the pure evil of the Dodgers is that they took the Rays and the A's and they took Stan Kasten's money and they said, listen, I have a bunch of cheapskate friends in my circle who would gladly give us their good players with the bad contracts strapped to them. Let's just do that. And in the case of Mookie Betts, in that case, it was they've deemed a good player's contract was bad. And the Dodgers were able to swoop in. So I guess what I'm saying is I agree to some extent, but I also don't see the Giants being in that same position where they're going to be getting Adrian Gonzalez and Carl Crawford. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see them doing those types of things. You know, Patrick Corbin attached to Juan Soto, I believe, was one idea that was floated out there. But you're saying the Giants are going to add $50 or $60 million on two players, and they're going to trade 5 or 6 prospects. Like, I just don't see that happening. It seems like it completely blows up the plan. You know, if you're just signing Bryce Harper for money and you're losing that draft pick, that is definitely one whole other side of the discussion. But if you're blowing up your own long-term plan, you know, your next 3 years, you know, when you've got Juan Soto under contract, two years, that's affected now. Kyle Harrison, you know, next year or the year after is not there. So now you're hoping that someone else has come up, or you're just going to have to add now on the free agent market. And now we're into the surrounding bonds with good free agents. And we've recreated the early 2000s suddenly. That's why I'm like, I just don't see it happening. But you're right. I'm conceding. I concede the point, but we needed to raise it.
It's important to talk about these things.
If you put him in that lineup right now, like if today Juan Soto was in the lineup today, I mean, first of all, the Giants just win every game. That's a given.
Yes, 100% of the games. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe more. Maybe they win games other two other teams play.
That's right. You know, because you look at their record right now, they're two or three games, depending on this episode's going to come out on Monday. So I don't know if they're going to get swept. They're basically a Buster Posey away from keeping pace with their record from last year through 40 games, which makes sense because they didn't replace Buster Posey. So you pop Juan Soto in that lineup and they're at least as good as they were already last year. And they have Juan Soto in the lineup. But now you know.
Also, imagine Juan Soto and Brandon Belt hitting back to back in a lineup.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, so annoyed. Yeah. They would be so annoyed.
You'd probably go, what, La Stella Belt? You'd probably go Ruff, or you'd probably put Soto. But I don't know. I don't even want to think about it. But you also have to think who from the major league roster would be going, who would be left. It'd be an interesting challenge. I just think when you talk about the Giants getting rid of their pitching, I actually think their starting pitching depth is the interesting challenge for them. But anyway, Juan Soto would be a great ad for the Giants. I just don't think it's going to happen. But if they...
Oh, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah. It was a dumb rumor. It's not going to happen. Yes. But it's fun to think about.
Yes. Also, it is the one way it subverts the sign that I insist I tap every time the Giants talk about... Giants fans talk about free agent hitters. You can trade for a good one. I never said you couldn't trade for them. Okay. What we should really get into positively, two bits of Giants news. I say it's positive because... at the end of the day, we're going to remember him for what he did on the field that were great. And that's Joe Panik announced his retirement. Finally, he's like, hey, I like being a dad. And I made a nice little bit of money playing baseball. I think I'm going to do this for now and then figure out what's next. And I think all those celebrations have happened, but there have been really nice spotlights on what he's done for the Giants. Doug, besides the World Series double play, what are you going to remember Joe Panik for?
Probably the two games at the start of the 2018 season.
Yeah.
Which were both won on Joe Panik solo home runs. Both 1-0 wins at Dodger Stadium. That the only run in each game came from a Joe Panik solo homer.
That's right. That was going to probably be my answer too. I really wanted to add that I really enjoyed that he looked a lot like Buster Posey. The Buster Posey clonage aspect was fun. Gold glove and an all-star appearance, not too shabby for the Giants farm. It's not that he was an afterthought. It's just you weren't thinking about Joe Panik in sort of the same breath. And I remember sort of his emergence being like, hey, maybe the Giants have figured things out. I think a great up-the-middle defense between Panik and Crawford. That was great. It made me very happy that the Giants had basically a homegrown infield for a very brief period of time, at least in 2015. That was a lot of fun. The other thing I wanted to point out, I didn't put this on the rundown, Tuck, but I want to know if you saw this. We haven't talked about a lot of former Giants playing elsewhere this year because it would just be like every week we'd be going like, here's what Kevin Gausman did this week. Why didn't the Giants just re-sign him too? But Johnny Cueto's back. He pitched a hell of a game for the White Sox in his debut. But I wanted to point out that he has purchased in the Dominican an ambulance with 54 speakers in the back. Did you see this?
I did see this. The party ambulance. Yeah.
The party ambulance. And I don't know where it is. I don't know what it is about Johnny Cueto, but he's like a comedian who works in joke areas that no one else thinks about.
No, he's a constant delight in ways that no one else can touch. Like nobody's close to him.
No, you know? I'll narrow it down. Probably for white people or baseball fans. And he's a joy, and there's just something that's a lot of fun about it. I mean, I still think about the fact that his horse died and there was something charming about it. Even in death, he's able to find, I don't know. But Johnny Cueto with the speaker ambulance, which is apparently, it's a fad. That's the word. We don't use that word anymore.
We don't.
I'm sounding very old today, but it's a fad. I'm glad that he's on top of it. And using his Giants bucks to bring some joy to the island there. But I needed to point that out on top of the retirement talk too. Joe Panic, good giant. Johnny Cueto, good giant. And it's good to both see them both giving to the world in other ways besides baseball. All right, now the Giants' first 40 games of the season. Again, we're recording this when they're 22-17. They might be 23-17 when you hear this. 22-18. I kind of think that's most likely, but we'll see. That's 3 games off their pace from 40 games last year, like I said earlier. Doug, first quarter of the season, what would be the one word you'd use to describe the Giants' season to this point?
Well, you know, I've obviously been thinking about this for at least 15 minutes since you told me you'd be doing it.
That's right.
And I think my answer has to be good with a question mark at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're good, but it doesn't feel like they're good. You know, they'll run off a 6-game winning streak, and then they'll just look like garbage after it. And so, yeah, like, I understand that they're technically good, but are they? You know.
Well, the record indicates that they kind of are.
Yeah, I know. Like, everything is saying that they're good, but they don't feel good when they can't beat the Padres.
They came back against the Padres, though, when it looked like, or with 2 outs, when it really looked like they weren't going to do it. They held the Padres were very aggressive on Saturday, and they still held them to 2 runs.
They do good things, but not enough good things to win, which is a problem.
And you can't really pin it on managerial decisions either. Maybe you can.
No.
It's like that. That's not doing it. It's just players not performing. My word is yawn. They're boring. They're just boring. I think, to be fair, like this isn't a criticism mode at this moment. It's just, I feel like the injuries come at these weird times. Brandon Bell starts to get hot, then he's not playing every day. Jock Peterson was heating up, then he had to go away. You know, I don't know what's going on with Brandon Crawford besides he's being old, but he's still playing good defense. His bat could get going. But I also think Brandon Crawford's bat probably heats up more easily if he's surrounded by hitters who are hitting better. And Darren Ruff, I think, is, you know, Lamont Wade was starting to really wait it up. And then he, you know, he's got the knee problem that's persisting. Darren Ruff is starting to get hot again. Yastrzemski looks like he's settling in, but he hasn't gone on a streak. And I just think it's just things aren't quite meshing right now, but not in such a way that you can point to, like, they're not hitting well. Okay. So what do you do about that? Oh, they're not pitching well. So what do you do about that? Well, you're not in a position to go, and it's just boring to watch them sometimes. They have big run games, and even in these small games or these close games, it just doesn't seem like the pizzazz is there from last year. It's happened. Everything's happening in spurts. It's feeling very churchy almost. Like we're standing up and sitting down, and then we have moments where we're allowed to cheer. Or allowed to act human. I'm kind of lumping this past week into this discussion now, just because they went to Colorado. They extended their winning streak in Colorado to 12 games before Connor Joe beat them on the third game. But listen, having that much success against the Rockies, this feels like in my day, they did not have. They did not have this much success, and Coors Field consistently a house of horrors. And so that this was a good run. We should feel fortunate that we got to experience this, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you win 12 games in a row against any team in your division, and that's fun for you. Not for them.
Yeah, no, not for them. Not for them.
They did not enjoy that, which made it even more fun that they were getting the vapors over it.
The way the other teams in the division really little brother the Giants and the Dodgers, I think the Diamondbacks are like the middle child that's kind of figured their own stuff out because they've actually won one. But anyway, it's just kind of amusing to think about. It's like, oh yeah, Rockies fans and Padres fans have a legit beef with the other fan bases because we do look down at them.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we absolutely look down on them. Are you kidding me? Remember one year on the podcast, we were previewing every NL West team, and our preview for the Padres was all about the TV show Pitch.
That's right. That's right.
Which I think was a good decision. You know what? That was your idea, and I think you should stick with it. It was much more entertaining than talking about the actual Padres.
I mean, that one actually gave us a scoop in how the Giants had a hand in crafting his story. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, and I would do that again if that show was still there. But one more thing about the Rockies I need to say, because I don't know if I've made this explicitly clear. Can we talk about, well, first of all, Connor Joe has dealt with cancer and has survived that, has come through and is clear right now. And it caused him to sort of, I heard Farnsworth talking about this the other day on KBR. It's like it caused him like adjust his, like think about life differently and as a consequence adjust his approach and all that. But can I just say, with his long black hair, you know, he's like Thor out there, you know, that the difference between when he was with the Giants and now, it's like this Connor Joe. Like this one came to rock, and the
folks,
one that
you're working blue.
That's right. I'll beep it out. Okay, so, the one with the Giants. You know that one. That guy was like, you know, he was the rookie, or you know, and he was very much like, I don't know if I should even talk right now. But the one of the Rockies, he's like, let's go. And it's a very amusing to me to see that, because it's night and day. It's and the uniform seems to make that more stark for me. Anyway, so I got that out of my system. It's now done. I want to go over some numbers that stood out to me about the first 40 games of the season, because I think this is pointing to why they're kind of boring to me. They're not doing anything so terribly that you can, like I said, point to, but they're doing things that are fine. They're third in runs scored behind the Dodgers and Angels. Did you know that?
No, it doesn't seem like it's right, but
that's right.
It is.
That's right. They are eighth in home runs, which is fifth. This isn't baseball, by the way, these numbers, and then I'll break it down if I have to. They're fifth in the NL in home runs, eighth in Major League Baseball. They're eighth in OPS, which is whatever, but you just wouldn't think about it to look at them. This is the one that jumps out at me. Everyone knows about the first and sac flies. The Giants have 21, but they're second in walks.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Even Jock Peterson and Belt, even when they're not hitting, they're still drawing walks.
If you sent that stat to 2009, Bruce Bochy, his head would grow half a size, meaning it would be three sizes normal.
I mean, more than that, 2009, yeah. All the smug Giants fans on the internet were like, well, I guess they finally fired Sabian and Bochy, so they were able to win something.
So that's kind of the top line stuff where I look at it and I go, oh, yeah, I mean, it's also 40 games into the season, and they're still – this is how they're standing out. Second in walks, they're third in on-base percentage in baseball behind the Mets and the Dodgers. Incredible. But, yeah, like you said, you can see it when you watch their at-bats. I have not yet come over to the idea that the Giants can do this. It still hasn't rewired my brain.
I mean, this is what Farhan's finding players who he can do. This is the thing that he is searching for. Even if they don't have power, even if they're not technically good, and just please imagine I did put air quotes around good. He wants guys who can control the strike zone, who know the zone. And so what you'll get when they're running bad is guys who take good at bats, but can't do anything with the pitches. They swing at the right pitches, they lay off the right pitches, but they're not good enough to do anything with them. That's how it feels like when they're running bad, like they have been the last few days.
And on that note, wow, you just provided a brilliant transition here. So just 25 plate appearances at the minimum. Barrels per plate appearance percentage. Jock Peterson's leading the team with 13.7% of his plate appearances have a barrel in them. And then Yastrzemski, 7.1%, Brandon Belt, 6.7%. Those are the only players that are above league average. Brandon Crawford, Austin Slater, Kurt Casale, Darren Ruff, Wilmer Flores, Joey Bart, Jason Vossler, Tyro Estrada, Luis Gonzalez. These are 25 plate appearances at least. all of them are like near the bottom of Major League Baseball, below average for sure, in barrels per plate appearance. They're just not hitting the ball hard once they are making contact, or the ball's just not traveling. It could be a ball related thing, or it's just 40 games. and their playing time has essentially been stuttered in a lot of these cases with injuries. The last note on offense I want to add is Tyro Estrada. After Friday's game, the Joey Bart howls became louder from the fandom. I still want to point out his walk rate is 14% compared to 45% strikeout rate. That's not good, the 45%, but the 14%, which I know is going down, is still kind of remarkable. And he does hit for power whenever he does make contact. He has like a spiritual cousin in Tyro Estrada who's third in baseball, number three on the list of all baseball players in ground ball rate at 59.3%. And he only has two double plays that he's grounded into because he's fast and he avoids being the back end of that double play. So to me, watching that game on Saturday, I was like, this is going to kill the rally, because now instead of having a runner at second, you're just going to have another runner at first, but now with an extra out, because Estrada is going to hit a ground ball. That's not going to get out of the infield. But both of them sort of provide above average defense or solid enough defense that you know why they're playing. And I think that's just adding to this whole like they do some things well and some things not as well. The things they're not doing as well, that could just be timing. It could be coaching, and maybe it'll straighten itself out. Maybe it won't. We'll find out over the next 40 games.
Well, one thing about Joey Bart to me is that, you know, people will complain about him, and you'll have the people who are like, well, you know, he's actually above average for a catcher. And the Giants catching tandem is good. And the Giants catching tandem is good because Kurt Casale has been on such a hot streak lately that he brings up all the numbers. Joey Bart's overall numbers, pretty good. But Joey Bart, over the first week of the season, so like April 8th through 15th, hit 333, 455, 722. Since then, he has hit 113, 266, 226.
So you're saying they figured him out.
Yeah. I mean, it's you can be optimistic about him. You can say plenty of nice things about his potential, but he is absolutely not getting it done at the plate right now over the last month. And it's completely fair to point that out, that the team has sputtered a little bit since then. You know, their team is 8-10 in the games that he's appeared in since then. And that's, you know, you need players who can hit better than 113. You just need that.
So that is I have a companion stat to that. What was their record when he's catching for them?
8-10.
Wilmer Flores, when he plays third base, you know what the Giants' record is? 13-2. I don't know what that means. The Joey Bart question, why didn't they trade him sooner, is one I feel like that's coming into focus a little bit more, in that we might have an answer of like, well, everyone else saw what we're seeing now. They saw it already.
Well, my theory on that is that they were going to trade him this last offseason.
And then Posey retired.
Yeah. Because he wasn't great in AAA, but he was good enough that a team would look at him and say, oh, we could fix him. There's still a lot there. And they would pay something worth paying, you know? And then Posey retires and they're like, well, I guess he is the catcher now. Yeah. And then that he's played like the whole thought process was, I guess it's Joey Bart.
And I don't disagree with that, because once you move into that phase, you're empowering the player to not think, you know what I mean? You're taking away an anxiety.
Yeah.
So he can focus more. You have to hope. I'm again, 8-10. Okay. 18 games. That's a terrible judgment to make a base. So yeah, it's a terrible sample to base a judgment of a player on. He does not look good. There's no question. If other Giants were hitting better, it would not be as terrible a thing. Do you have any other offensive stats that you want to throw in there?
Just that, you know, for all the whining that we are doing about the offense right now, these stats are through Friday's games, because we were recording on Saturday and FanGraphs does not update immediately. The top 11 of the 11 hitters who've gotten the most plate appearances for the Giants, according to Fangraphs, the only one under 100 WRC plus is Brandon Crawford.
Yeah.
Like, and the rest of them have all been above average. Even Tyro Estrada, 101. Joey Bart, 102. So, I mean, they have hitters, but they're just not – it seems like they're just not coming through together. To me, it feels like the offense is mostly based on, well, who's on a crazy hot streak today?
Yeah.
And then that's it. You know, it was Brandon Belt for a little while. It was Jock Peterson for a little while. It was Tommy Lasell for that one game in Colorado. But, like, if you don't have that one guy – who's just like, yeah, I'm going to be Babe Ruth for the next couple of days, then the offense has been sputtering.
Or when other people are struggling, they're still, if he's not hot, he's consistent. Because, you know, Lestella followed that big game in Colorado up, I think, with an 0 for 5.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, it's like.
That seems right.
Yeah, and I think, I really think this all comes down to just no Buster Posey. Like, all these problems seem to be solved by having a good hitter. Like Buster Posey in the lineup.
Yeah.
This is versus last year. But okay, so pitching wise, a couple of things to point out here. Baseball Prospectus has deserved runs created. And this was tweeted out. The Giants staff, they have faced basically the best offenses so far. Just to go down the list, the DRC plus of the team's pitching staffs have faced. Giants are number one. They've faced 104. So 4% above the league average. Kansas City Royals are next, 102. Texas Rangers, 102. Toronto Blue Jays, 102. And then this is the bottom. The bottom four are the Cubs at 98, the Padres at 98, the Rays at 97, and the Dodgers at 97. So the Dodgers have faced the easiest lineups, worst lineups.
Cheating sons of bitches.
So I saw that and I was like, the only thing this tweet is missing are the records of those teams. So I just went down the list. Let's go up the list. The Dodgers, facing the worst lineups, have a record of 26-12. The Rays, 23-12. The Padres, well, now we know, 27-14. The Cubs, 15-23. Now we get into the top tier. The Blue Jays, 21-18. The Rangers, 18-20. The Royals, 14-24. The Giants, 22-17 after today's game. 22-17. So the Giants are actually playing, pitching the best against the best lineups. So I just wanted to point that out because I'm going to have to edit this again. F*** the Dodgers. And also to point out that as maybe not as sharp as the Giants have been, especially in the bullpen, as we grew accustomed to somehow last year, I feel like people just hit reset on 2019 and 2020 or 2020. I'm like, that was a pretty bad bullpen to rebound from. So the fact that they went from 2020s to last year's, and this is somewhere in the middle, that seems about right, to be honest. But I just want to point that out because pitching wise, you know, your bullpen is going to be less effective the more it has to cover your starters. And I don't think the starters are doing as great a job as they would have hoped or projected as turning through the lineup right now. That's what I've noticed through 40 games.
Yeah, they haven't been going deep into games. Logan Webb has been doing a good job of it, but he's the only one.
Yeah. Any pitching numbers that stick out to you that you wanted to highlight?
Just that I had Zach Littell way too high on my bullpen trust ratings. That's all.
Are you coming to the Brebbia side?
I think so. I think I have to. He's forcing me.
Well, we'll be doing an update in June once we get through this month. But I feel like the bullpen is where most of the analytical experimentation is happening. And I think once you start getting into theory versus theory, that once it faces reality, it can sometimes run into some trouble. So I'm sure they're doing some adjustments. Tyler Rogers is kind of what I'm thinking of kind of in the back of my mind. But the Padres don't look like a good matchup for the Giants right now.
They do not.
No. And I don't know, because Bob Melvin's their manager now, I don't know that the Giants can bank on an August and September meltdown.
Yeah, I mean, I'm crossing my fingers. I still believe in the Padres. But
it would be very funny, though, if the Giants just came out and admitted in September, they're like, that was our model. Was
our plan was that they would collapse. It's worked so many times before, we've been stupid not to count on it.
As much as Juan Soto is guaranteed to be good the next 3 years, we anticipated the Padres to melt down for the next 3 years. All right, we're going to come back, and we're going to look ahead to the next 40 games. We didn't get a chance to do preseason predictions, so I guess this will be – we'll do it in discrete segments like this. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, the Giants will, over the next 40 games, they've got 20 at home, 20 on the road. They'll play the Mets, Reds, Phillies, Marlins, Rockies, Dodgers, Royals, Pirates, Braves, Reds again, Tigers, White Sox, D-backs. A nice variety, I guess, in there. Seeing the Reds twice, that'll be nice. Although the Reds are playing well right now. As of yesterday, they had 1-8 of 12. So, or as of Friday, they had 1-8 of 12. I guess this is... You know, predicting baseball is tough, but also the Giants, to me, I said they're boring or yawn, snore, whatever it is, for the one word to describe their first 40 games of the season. I also have I had a shower thought, Doug, of what the Giants are reminding me of, at least this season. They're CBS.
CBS.
They put out a consistent product that just does well. But it doesn't wow you in any particular way. They know how to make baseball. It's not flashy. In some ways, it's pandering to the broadest possible older audience. It has segments of comfort food. You know what you're going to get. And at the end of the season, it's gonna either be the most watched network or it's going to have surprised all of its peers by its consistency. That's what I see. I don't see any particular, you know, when I see 20 and 20, I'm not even cynically saying, or 40 games, I'm not even cynically sitting here and saying 20 and 20. I feel like 25 and 15, and we're like, that's fine. Like, I feel like that's what they've built in all of us. It's like, that's fine.
I mean, the only disappointing part about that comparison is that Ron Wotus is gone, and, you know, he's a dead ringer for Mark Harmon. So, I mean, that really would have driven it home.
NCIS San Francisco, they never did that.
So. They never did it. And it was right there.
Yeah. But so that's what I think about when I think about the Giants at all. At this point, if we had done a preseason prediction show, it would have been different. I mean, we would have definitely been going through 107 games, this or that. They've figured out some secret sauce and this or that. And, you know, that's great because that's what 107 wins would do for the enthusiasm. But now that we watch them, it's like I'm not like worried about them like falling into the ocean or anything, unless it's by Max Muncy's hand, then I might.
He would do it. He would do it.
He's like, don't make me bury you in the ocean. That's a bay, Max. We don't need to get in the nitty gritty and like go through every series. That's dumb. But what are your thoughts on that? Like if I just throw out there, like what if they are just 25 and 15? We're going to be fine with that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you go 25 and 15 over any 40-game stretch in the majors, you should basically be happy with that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you extend that out to 160-game season. That's 40 games over 500. That's 101 and 61. Yes. Yeah. Obviously, you would be happy with that.
Yeah.
And I hope that happens. I would be very happy with that. But, yeah.
It just doesn't seem like 20 and 20 is where it's going to wind up. If it's 21-19, 23-17, 22-18 like it is – probably going to be by the time you're listening to this. I don't know. I don't think they're built for average. I think everything that's built, and I'm not just, I hope everyone has internalized at least this part of the entire re-envisioning of the Giants. When the Giants are being built, it's not just the players on the field. It's the coaches in the dugout. It's the coaches in the clubhouse. You can't go into the dugout. It's the front office staff. It's all that is part is pushing towards what's on the field. And so I just don't think they're capable, again, barring injury, something unexpected that they can't cover. I don't just see them being a 500 team.
No, I mean, the thing is that if you remember 2019, the first few months of the season, there was like a revolving door of guys that kept calling up, sending down. And it was, well, it's convenient for me because I was covering some of those games. And so writing up a guy's first day in the majors is very easy as a pregame story. So mm-hmm. I appreciate it on that level. But I mean, you know, as a fan, you're like, well, what happened to that other guy? Why is there this new, what happened to this? I didn't even finish asking about this new guy and he's already gone. And the reason that that Farhan was doing that was that the team wasn't good enough. And so he will take any opportunity to improve the team. If a guy is not doing well, he will find a solution to get a guy who might be better into the lineup. So that's why I'm not that worried about the team now that the foundation is a little stronger than it was that year. Because this front office has historically shown that they're good at finding players who can come in and contribute when somebody else isn't. And so right now, you know, Evan Longoria is not contributing. And so not to say they'll cut him, but they will figure something out to get someone to get Wilmer Flores in at third base every day.
Thank you. I was just going to say, I have an idea.
Yeah. And you know, then they'll pick some spots for Longoria. They will work on him behind the scenes, try to slowly rebuild what he was for the first couple months in 2021 when he was like a legitimately great hitter again. But you know, for now, they're not going to be satisfied with the status quo because they always want to push. That is sort of their personality as a front office, as an organization, as a coaching staff. So I'm not worried about them just sticking with, you know, in 2009, right? The Giants stuck with Randy Winn all year, even though Randy Winn was done. And I'm not worried about them doing that. And I think that they will find a way to at least put a competitive product on the field over the next couple months.
With the Longoria thing, what struck me that I don't recall reading anywhere is it seems that he and Listella were rushed back, that they came back maybe quicker than the team could let them keep rehabbing. That was my sense. My sense was they weren't coming up on any rehab time periods that a player can be down rehabbing. Am I wrong about that? I'm not sure.
No, I think I don't think their time is up.
Yeah. So to me, when I think about Longoria, yeah, I thought he was cooked. And then last year he was great. And then when he was not playing well, it really hurt them. And when he was out, it really hurt them. To me, it just seems like between the short spring training and then he and Listella not getting that much ramp up time. You know what I mean? Like they just haven't played enough. And exactly. I hope that's what it is with him because they're kind of locked in. And to your point about they'll make changes when they have to, that's why you get guys that you can option easily. That's what we're talking about. That's what they're talking about when they're talking about all the way to the 26th man. But I also think that it's impossible for there not to be some sort of a hierarchy priority list. You're going to give Brandon Crawford more time. You know what I mean? Like there's just players that you're committed to for one reason or another, financially or, you know, their value in other areas. If they're not performing in this area, you know, you're probably going to stick with Tyro Estrada. If for nothing else, he's going to be starting switched out or your late game defensive replacement, whatever it is. But Luis Gonzalez, he's probably going to get sent down another time. So between all that, that's why I sit there and I go, yeah, 25 and 15, that would be great. But even then, I'm not even thinking like, I guess 21 and 19 or 20 and 20 would to them be a disappointment. And when I look at the opponents, I can see how something goes wrong. You know, the Marlins are playing better this year. The Tigers are supposed to be playing better. We're supposed to be better this year. They haven't really gotten going in that regard. But they're sort of like the Reds, I think. Last year, both teams got very slow starts. I think both teams had really bad, not the Reds, because Reds would have been the sixth playoff spot. I think the Tigers had sort of a Red situation last year where they were terrible in the first month, and then they basically had a winning record the whole rest of the season, and everyone thought that was going to carry them into this season. That hasn't happened yet. The Reds are sort of doing what the Tigers are doing, at least very briefly in May, where they're starting off slow and now they're taking off. So you never know. Things can come back and surprise you. Teams can come and surprise you. The White Sox, D-backs, those are tough teams. One last point on the next 40 games. You know, the Giants, I think they're designed to just get into the playoffs. I think they knew, they projected, you know, oh, this extra wild card spot, that's a great boon for us because we don't have to stress about replacing Buster Posey, because the team we have right now, even if we fall off a cliff on from what we won last year, you know, 85 to 90 games or 90 wins, which is still a lot of wins, you know, that could get us into the playoffs. I guess why I'm bringing all this up is like they're comfortably in the playoff mix right now, but like the Braves haven't gotten going. The Phillies haven't made a run. You know, the Mets could melt down and not win that division. I don't know.
I believe in the Mets' ability to melt down.
But those are three teams from one division, the Giants, Padres, and Dodgers, three teams from another. That's six right there. You know, we got the Central, you know, there's the Cardinals and the Brewers. So some team's going to get left holding the bag. You'd think it would be the Phillies.
I mean, it's usually the Phillies and the Mets, right?
That's right.
That's how it usually works.
And you have to like the Giants versus the field in terms of intelligence. The Dodgers could just get Juan Soto. We didn't discuss that possibility.
Yeah, they could just call up the Nationals like, pretty please.
Yeah.
Pretty please, just do us a solid, guys.
Remember when we traded for Trey Turner? Remember that? And Max Scherzer? Can we just do that again? The Nationals are like, sure, why not? So it could go sideways very, very quickly. Oh, I had a whole thing. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to sign off now. I had a whole thing, though, in the shower about, well, if the Giants are CBS, then who are whatever. And basically, the Angels are Netflix. And the Dodgers are Hulu. That was where I came down on that. And if you want to know more about that, you can at McCroncast on Twitter, and you can ask that question, and I'll answer it. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode. Doug, please plug your writing.
If you want to read more of my writing, or any of my writing, because this isn't writing, this is a podcast. If you want to read my writing, go to giantsdoug.substack.com, where I write twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 a.m. It goes out. Everyone loves it. I get so many messages from people. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Well, it's a great read. And if you like that smooth Doug style, you'll find it there.
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening. Go Giants.
Go Giants.